hastening the reappearance of our Twelfth Imam, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. For the love of Sayyidah Zahra alayha salam, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك المظلومين لعن الله الظالمين لكم من الأولين والآخرين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك المظلومين ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمنا من التجأ إليكم سادتي فيا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيما The pouring eyes of your Shias, they cried for you. They cried for you with blood, O cousin of Hussein, O Muslim. These clouds in the eyes remain, bringing back your memory to life night and day. Because you did not drink that water, your teeth fell in the jar. After tying you up, they threw you from the top of the castle of Kufa. So I ask you, O Muslim, is there a part of your body that was not hurt from that fall? They dragged your body in markets of Kufa, though in the yesterday you were their Amir. Oh my master Muslim, how can you die? And there is nobody to mourn you in Kufa. Would there nobody being to mourn you in the city? However, your daughter, she burst into tears. The sadness burnt her heart. She went to the lap of Hussein, who struck her hair like the head of an orphan is struck. O Imam, who you are taking care of the orphan of Muslim, who is going to take care of your orphans on the day of Ashura? She tells her uncle, I want my father. It seems he has traveled so far away. He rubs her head and tells her, oh my child, your father in Kufa remained lonely, and the deceitful traitors, they cut his head. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. قال الله عز وجل في محكم كتابه العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يمسكون بالكتاب وأقاموا الصلاة إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين. To hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the most important messages that our Imam, alayhi salam, wanted to convey to the Ummah, to the people of that time, and he wanted it to be an immortal message, was the message of reform and islah that our Imam sought to bring about in that ummah that had gone to the extremes of fasad during that era. In the past couple of nights we have been talking about this topic. Yesterday I had started in trying to compare the uprising and the reform of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as compared to the reforms of those reformers, prophets before him. And thereat, we had chosen from the Holy Quran some personalities, namely Nabi Nuh alayhi salam and his reform, and Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and his reform, and Nabi Musa alayhi salam. We had started to talk about his reform. Just to remind my dear brothers and sisters really quickly, we said that the reform of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam during his time and during his era, one of the really subtle messages and details that the Holy Quran presents when it is talking about the society of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, and that can help anthropologists and historians to know how distant our time is from the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, is that the Holy Quran mentions his society as a society that had not reached, or actually the Quran refers to, and it gives a signal that his society had not reached to a level that there was a central government in it, there was a central state in it. It was a society, people living together, however, it had not reached that state. Thereat, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam tried to carry out reform at the level of the people, and he remained for many hundreds of years, 950 years, calling these people to come to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. In the end, however, confrontation came and Allah Azza wa Jal was called by Nabi Nuh to wipe out these people. And that we find in the Holy Quran, in which Nabi Nuh alayhi salam asks Allah Azza wa Jal by saying that if you leave these people alive, they will not beget, they will not father except kuffar like themselves. Following that, we reach the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, yes, there was a central government. There was a governing power in Namrud. However, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam did not confront that power directly by itself. He was trying to carry out social reform on the social level, on the level of the people. Still, during this time, in the age of human civilization, Allah Azza wa Jal did not want Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam to go in direct confrontation with that power. After the confrontation happened and Namrud tried to kill Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he took the step of Hijrah. This is something similar as we find also in the message and the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Following that, we talked about the uprising or the reform of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, whereby Allah Azza wa Jal directly sent him to Pharaoh. اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. That is to say, go to Pharaoh because truly he has transgressed. So, during that time, this society was a secular society. It was a materialistic society. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to directly cause a reform in the people of Egypt by starting to reform the Hakim, that is to say the governor himself, the ruling party. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent Musa alayhi salam. He sent him with all of his miracles. However, Musa alayhi salam did not succeed, that is to say Pharaoh. He remained arrogant and stubborn and he would not accept. In the end, after all of the adabat or the punishment that were sent to Pharaoh, in the end he accepted, and Musa alayhi salam took the Israelites. When they reached that river on the sea, Pharaoh, he decided thereafter to take his soldiers in order to try and seek them and to destroy them. Being the only muwahideen and monotheists who were found on the earth during that time, Allah Azza wa Jal, so to protect them. And thereat, Pharaoh was drawn. So this was their confrontation. To continue on, after this, what happened is that these Israelites, after a very short period after the departure or the demise of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, these Israelites, they did not continue in his path and they started to deviate. When they started to deviate, slowly, we find that these people, they started to fabricate beliefs, notions, ideas, and introduce them and innovate them in the religion of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. They started to change his Sharia for money. Riba, for instance, is something that was haram. They started to take riba. There were certain things that were haram for them that would make them halal. And these people became the worst, most materialistic nation and people that can be found in history. The Holy Quran says that they were so attached to the dunya to the extent that to each and every one of them would wish that they would live 1,000 years. 1,000 in the Holy Quran, because of the fact that the Arabic language at that time, it did not have the word million. So 1,000 was the greatest number, the highest number that they knew. So the Holy Quran, when it mentions 1,000, it's not only 1,000. No, actually, they wish to remain in the dunya forever. If any psychiatrist were to come and truly study the society of the Israelites, he will find them the sickest people in terms of psychology. They were the sickest people, truly. Due to this fact, Allah Azza wa Jal sent to these people, he sent to them, according to some narrations, over 70,000 prophets. We had 124,000 prophets. To them, can you imagine 70,000? These prophets, some of them are Rusul, apostles. A Rasul, he has a Sharia. According to some of our narrations, we had 313 Rasuls. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, being the last one of them. Each one of them had a Sharia. Sometimes the Sharia would be totally different. Sometimes it would add to previous Sharias. The Sharia of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, it added to the Sharia. It changed a little bit the Sharia of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent all of these people. In other words, he sent all of these psychiatrists in order to try and change these people so that they would maybe become sensible. However, it was really difficult. But who are the main problem during this time? The main problem in the ummah of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, it was the hakams. It was the Jewish scholars. The scholars of Bani Israel. They were the problem. They would change stuff according to that which would suit their interests. So Allah Azza wa Jal, what he did then, he sent Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He sent Nabi Isa alayhi salam, He did not send Nabi Isa alayhi salam at that time to face the kingdom and the king and the ruling power of Herodos. He didn't send him to those people. He sent him to the Israelites, but especially to that class of their ulama, of their hahams. With regards to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, then, how was his uprising? Comparison to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, during his time, like I mentioned in my previous lectures, bid'at had entered our religion. New things, new ideas, new concepts were entered, were brought. Muawiyah tried as much as possible to facilitate easy circumstances so that atheists with atheist thought, who would not believe in the existence of Allah, would come and they would go to the different mosques, different people, debate them in order to try and sway them from Tawheed. These two people, these two personalities especially, Muawiyah and his son, Muawiyah said after he usurped the caliphate, that I didn't fight you in order for you to pray, or I didn't fight to get this rule over you, power over you, so that you would pray. No, I just want to rule over you. His son Yazid, he was a little bit more explicit. Their plan in actuality was, they wanted to remove and wipe out the entire message of Islam. It's as if these 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, as if they never happened. They wanted to return to bring the people back to the time of Jahiliyyah. That's what they wanted. The only thing that would have changed for them is that now they are in power. The Arabs of that time, especially the Arabs of Hijaz, these Musta'rib Arabs, that is to say the Arabs of the northern Hijaz or the central Hijaz, not the Arabs of Yemen. The Arabs of Yemen, they had experienced states, governments, like the state of Sheba. However, these Arabs, they had not experienced that. So truly, when they found power, government, a central government with a vast area of land, they wanted to hold on to it. So this was their plan. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, during that time, he was trying, if we want to take that similarity between his uprising and the uprising of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, he was also facing then these ulama or these scholars or these thinkers who were bringing these thoughts. This in general then is how the reform of Imam Hussein alayhi salam compares to the reform of the other prophets. His reform, then, just to summarize this and sum it up, Imam Hussein alayhi salam's reform was not only for the general people. It was not only for the personality of Yazid. The personality before that, our Imams alayhi salam, they tried to reform them. They tried to do something with regards to Muawiyah. And Muawiyah knew who Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was. He knew who he was. And he knew he was better than him. Even in his will, he told Yazid that his father, the father of Hussein, don't do anything to him because his father is better than your father. Why is the difference? Imam Hussein alayhi salam tried at that level, the level of the political rule. He used all of the tactics that the other prophets alayhi salam used as well in terms of migration. In the end, even the all-out confrontation. Our Imam alayhi salam, he stopped not only at the political and the general people, general masses, he also was focusing on the ulama as well. So, what I mean to say by all of this is that when we look at history and the course of human civilization, we find that the pinnacle of a reformative move, of a reformational move, is the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It was the most comprehensive move of reform that humankind had known until history. So when we truly want to learn reform, we have to look at the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Allah salawat. Okay, Mawlana, now you talked about how the historical depth of the reform of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is. And you mentioned some of the general points concerning what Imam Hussein alayhi salam saw in terms of fasad and corruption, what he found in his ummah at that time, in the ummah of the Holy Prophet. And at the same time, you also mentioned some general points on how he wanted to apply his reform. Me, as an individual today, I live in America, I live in Atlanta. What can I do? Let us try now to seek some practical examples with regards to reform on what our responsibility is vis-a-vis our 12th Imam Ajallallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Of course, the Holy Quran is a book of hidayah, the book of guidance. So it is imperative that if we want to start and to look at any concept such as this, we have to start by the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, it starts by a general rule. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Isra, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, indeed we have honored the progeny of Adam and bore them across land and sea and provided them with good things for their sustenance and exalted them above many of what or of whom we have created. So Allah Azza wa Jal has created intelligent things, but we as human beings are the most exalted. Intelligent things, some of these creations can be meant, the malaika, the angels, and the jinn kind as well. We human beings are better than both of them. We have more capabilities. We are the Khalifa of Allah Azza wa Jal on this earth, as I will come to point out. So, the general rule then to start with regards to Islah is that we have to take this into consideration. Me as a human being, Allah Azza wa Jal has given me more importance than any other belief system, any other theory. Capitalism, for instance, if I were to take it as an example, it only sees me as a unit of production, as a unit of producing money for tax or for labor. No, Allah Azza wa Jal says that I have created everything, every single detail in the solar system, how far the sun is from our earth, what materials and elements can be found in this earth, how they benefit us, what food He has created for us. My dear brothers and sisters, think about the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. When Allah first created mankind many thousands of years ago, we did not have all of these modern ways of transport. So Allah Azza wa Jal, so that we would be able to migrate from place to place, Allah Azza wa Jal created these animals for us. Even if you want to migrate, Allah has thought about that. You want food, look at all the food that Allah Azza wa Jal has created for us. Whatever you want, whatever comfort, medicine, whatever we needed, everything was created. Allah thought of everything. So, the first principle that I have to take into consideration is that me, this entire universe has been created for me as a human being. What should I do now? This only makes my responsibility more. This only makes my responsibility more heavier, because I have to be truly the Khalifa of Allah Azza wa Jal and deserve to be the Khalifa of Allah Azza wa Jal in this earth. Khalifa, let us look at this term. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. That when Allah Azza wa Jal told the angels that I am going to put a caliph, a representative of mine on this earth. Before I mention the practical examples of how one can perform reform on our individual level, because reform has three levels, individual, social, and the political, I'm starting at the individual today. Before I can start to think about reform, I have to know my talents, my capabilities. How much reform can I do? Where can I reach with this reform? This will become apparent in the practical steps that I will mention. To explain that, we have to see, who have we been created by? We have been created by Allah Azza wa Jal. What are some of the qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal? He is the all-powerful. He is the all knowledgeable, he is the all wise, he is the all giving. Qualities such as this. Okay. When he creates me, what kind of qualities or capabilities, innate capabilities, do I have? Let me give an example that will make this simpler to understand. You have two artists. One is an extremely professional artist with a very, very creative mind. When you give him a pen or a pencil, let him draw. Of course, what kind of painting or drawing is he going to give you? He's going to give you something really beautiful. Correct or not? Give the same tools, these same tools, to an artist who's not that good. Will he give you the same product? Will he give you the same drawing? He won't. He's not going to be able to. Let us come back to the human being. Me and you have been created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything has been created for us by Allah Azza wa Jal. We are the caliph of Allah Azza wa Jal. We are the representatives of Allah Azza wa Jal. In Irfani terms, we are the manifestation. Just like the drawing is a manifestation of the creativeness and the proficiency of that artist, we are the manifestation of all of Allah Azza wa Jal's quality to the highest extent that any creature can bear. So if Allah Azza wa Jal has the traits of all-knowingness, if He is all-knowing, then me as a creature, I can reach that level of being able to know the highest amount of knowledge that any creature can bear. Not just me going to a university and studying. No, to go to the true sources of knowledge. To Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And if a person, one of us, has that spiritual cleanliness, Allah Azza wa Jal will inspire us with such forms of knowledge that you will not even believe to be possible. That knowledge of al-ghayb, or by al-ghayb, that is to say from the unseen, we can receive such knowledges, and even these normal knowledges, forms of knowledge, we can receive them. So me, as a caliph then, if I want to perform as a caliph of Allah Azza wa Jalla representative on this earth, if I want to act out, perform on my personal level, then this is the level I should be aspiring. The level that our prophets and our imams alayhi wasalam came to show us, that this is what a human being is. This is what a human being can reach to. This is the purity that a human being has. If we look at a couple of examples of history in which Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, or in whom Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has carried out reform, we find that many of the students of our Imam were great Arafas. Some of them even reached the level of Isma, infallibility. With regards to Salman al-Muhammadi, it is said that Salman has reached the 10th level and the final level of Iman. We have other narrations about Salman which say that Salman minna Ahlul Bayt, Salman is from us, from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. If you look, for instance, at Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, he was known to be one of the grand companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. If we look at Maytham al-Tammar, Maytham al-Tammar had such form of knowledge. One of these forms of these unknown knowledges was what we call ilm al-manaya wal-balaya. Ilm al-manaya wal-balaya is the knowledge, and this people may consider it really heavy to digest, for it to sink in. Maytham al-Tammar had reached that level of spirituality whereby he was taught by Amir al-Mu'mineen salam the way to know when a person is going to die. When a person was going to die. Or what are the things that he is going to face, the calamities in his life. What is going to happen with a person. I can reach that level. Okay. After knowing then some of these of our capabilities, let us look. What kind of things can I expect from myself, and what are the different fields that I should look to improve in myself. Number one, if we look at the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal started with regards to human beings. He gave us two kinds of foods, metaphorically, two kinds of foods. He has taken care of us on our material level, all that we need, and He has taken care of us on our spiritual and moral level. If we look at the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Azza wa Jal says, with regards to the moral and spiritual side, He starts that carry out, perform prayer from the sunrise or from the dawn, from when the sun cracks, until at night, nightfall. So, number one, the first place of reform that I can see is it has to be in my ibadat, in my worship, my salat, in my psalm. Let us look at our relations. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, how should I be with my relations, my people, with my family? إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Surely Allah enjoins justice. So I have to be just with people. I have to show kindness and the doing of good to the kin, and forbids all that is shameful, evil, and oppressive, and He admonishes you so that you may be mindful. So, thereat, number one, we started on the moral level, on the spiritual level. Some more details. If you want to carry out reform on the spiritual level, there is a step before that. What is a step before that? The step before that is that you have to start with your belief system. What do you believe in? Even if you are a Shia, even if you have been born a Shia, how is your belief? Are you able to prove the existence of Allah, which is the most basic thing? Do you know what imamat means? Do you know what prophethood is? Do you know some of the details about what a prophet is? What is the day of Qiyamah? How are we going to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah? Why is it that Allah has so much talked about the day of Qiyamah? How grand is the day of Qiyamah? On the other hand, what kind of beliefs and values do I hold? Do I hold my own cultural or familial values more important than my religious values? Have I just taken the understandings of my fathers of my religion and Shiaism and of Ashura and of Husseini rituals? Have I just taken them and without questioning continued with them? Without questioning, without understanding, this is correct, this is not. Have I done that? This is the first level then. The first level is for me and you to look at our belief level, and we have to purify our thinking. We have to make it truly Islamic and Husseini. Two, look at the soul, look at the nafs. With regards to the nafs, many of us, we have some psychological problems. In the terminology of the Holy Quran, we have problems in our nafs. We have problems, we have dhagha'in, that is to say we have hatred. We have sometimes maybe enmity towards people. We have feelings of takabbur, arrogance, bigotry, egoism. These are some of the qualities that some people have that we may have. These lead to stuff, to matters such as lying, backbiting, etc. So we have to look at our nafs as well. Look at the qualities that we have. Look at our imams. We should read up on their sirahs and their biographies. Let us try to carve their qualities into us slowly, slowly. Number three, many of us, we may do something wrong. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, once in his presence, a person did something wrong. He committed a sin, and then he said, Astaghfirullah, thinking that that was enough. That is it. I said, Astaghfirullah, and Alhamdulillah, my sin is going to be wiped out. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam turned to him and he said, woe unto you. Do you think that is it? Do you think that if you just say Astaghfirullah, that your tawbah is enough? This is your complete tawbah? He said, no. When you do something wrong, when you commit a sin, you have to, first of all, not the exact narration, but the meaning of it, you have to take a decision not to come back to that. If you have done wrong to a person, you have to right that person, you have to give that person's rights back. If you have stolen someone's money, if you have eaten money or taken money from a person in a haram way, you have to give that back. Money or any other thing. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says something really, really difficult. He says that just like your meat on your bones has grown with the sweetness of sins, you have to fast, and so that your body or your flesh that has grown with sins can melt with the pain of fasting and istighfar until it reaches your bones, and then let it grow anew. Then say astaghfirullah. So the point that I wanted to take from this hadith is that we have to return the rights of those people whom we have taken wrongly. We have to abide by justice, just like in the verse that I read. Number four, and this is actually branched out from the first matter, which is considering our belief system. We have to focus a lot on some of the principles of usul al-deen. I would like to mention one principle considering the imamat. We're sitting with some of the brothers today and it brought up that there are certain matters that have to be brought up. One of these matters is the fact that each and every one of us has to know what an imam is and why has he been sent over here. An imam, my dear brothers and sisters, an imam, if I were to define it from one of the verses of the Holy Quran, an imam is a wasila, he is a means for a person to reach Allah Azza wa Jal. An imam, he has many characteristics which I don't want to go into, like infallibility, knowledge, etc. I want to focus on this matter. An imam is a means for a person to reach Allah Azza wa Jal. How does the imam carry out this wadifa, this task? By two ways. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran that we should seek means of gaining proximity to him. We can do that in two ways. Number one, this imam has been sent as a hadi, as a guide. So we have to seek guidance from our imam. Look at our narrations, read them. There are so many narrations that are so beautiful, that there are so many different situations in our lives that truly we can benefit from these narrations in. The second way is that we have to seek the intercession directly, intercession of our imam in our path to Allah Azza wa Jal. Our imams, they have a kind of authority over us, and they have a kind of authority over this entire existence. This authority is called the authority of al-wilaya al-takwiniya, existential, creational authority. There are many narrations considering how we have been created. Some of these narrations, they point out to the fact that the first thing to be created by Allah Azza wa Jal, due to Allah's love for them, was the nur and the light of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Our Prophet and his progeny, they have this wilaya. This wilaya, it means that our Prophet and his progeny, they can perform anything they want in this world. Anything. You can be made to live by our Imam, just like Nabi Isa alayhi salam used to bring back people to life by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam did that in many instances as well. Exactly like the instance of the cow in the story of Surah Al-Baqarah with the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam also did that. Our Imams have this authority. So when we seek their intercession, our Imams can take us by our hands in order to reach that level. To just give an example or a story concerning this, one of our Imams alayhi salam was in the court of one of the caliphs, I believe one of the Abbasid caliphs. That Abbasid caliph wanted to try to humiliate the Imam. He wanted to humiliate the Imam, so he had brought a magician. He had brought a magician so that he would do some tricks in order to make people then laugh at the Imam, to ridicule the Imam. What? He told him, when the Imam sits down and he wants to eat, do some tricks so that his plate moves, his fork and his spoon moves, so that he can't get it. Slowly, slowly, people then will start to make mockery of him. Why? Because of the fact that the Imam, our Imams, all of them, they have a kind of awe, a feeling about them, that if you see an Imam, even if you are the worst enemy of that Imam, you will not be able except to bow before the Imam, except to show him respect. So this had left a special position of the Imam in the hearts of the people. So this magician came and he started to make mockery of the Imam. Started to make a mockery of the Imam. Once, twice, the Imam said, "Don't do that, don't do that." This person continued. He was trying to make fun of Imamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. At that, our Imam, he turned towards a carpet. In that carpet, a lion was drawn, it was engraved, it was sewn. Picture of a lion. The Imam turned toward that picture and he said, "Ya Asad Allah, kul adu Allah. Oh, the lion of Allah, eat the enemy of Allah." And truly, that picture, that painting, that drawing, it turned into a lion. And it ate that person. That was that person's punishment. It ate that person. This is one of the miracles of Al-Wilayah Al-Taqwiniya. I've heard one of the people, they say that some of these Mawlanas, when they come and speak about the fazila, fadail of our Imams, they would make them turn out to be like Superman. No, our Imam, what is Superman to an Imam? What is a human being to an Imam? No, our Imams are something far higher. According to some of our narrations, it is mentioned that don't try to understand our true essence, because you will not be able to. And whatever any one of you describes us to be, we are higher than that. But don't turn us into, ma'adallah, gods. We're not that. We are creatures. Don't turn us into gods. This is what an Imam is. So this is one of the aspects that a person has to know. You want to carry out Islah, you need help. Allah has sent you that help. Who is that help? These direct people. That Imam Allah Azza wa Jal has put for us, these Imams. In our era, unfortunately, we live in a way that we are cut off from our Imam. Cut off not because of his ghaibah, no. It's because me and you are oblivious to his existence. We live in a way that, as if our Imam is not present. Because we do not have the blessing of seeing the Imam, it's as if we feel that, no, Imam is not present, then we forget him. This is one of the biggest errors that a person can do. There is something really beautiful that the brothers do in Iran. Before any dua, any majlis, in the beginning, in the end, our 12th Imam, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, he is always remembered. Our 12th Imam is always remembered. Whatever the situation may be, even maybe after salat, our 12th Imam is always remembered. Me and you, we are in need of his special care, of our 12th Imam's special inayah, his care for us. That is why, if we want to carry out this reform, we have to strengthen our connection to our Imam. When you get up in the morning, one salam is enough. Say salam. Whenever you are faced with any problem, you're faced with any danger, any hard situation, maybe even a legal problem, turn to the Imam. Truly, you will find the presence of the Imam, you will find the benefit of the Imam. Exactly like it is said about the Imam, that his benefit during ghaibah is just like the benefit that a person gets from the sun, even when it is hidden behind the clouds. Peace be upon Allah, Allah salawat ala Muhammad. Allah salli ala Muhammad. Ya Ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Ashil farajahum. Thereat then, to strengthen our connection with our Imams, this is one step, and this is one of the ways in which we can improve our aqaid. Thereat, in essence, this also brings me to our fifth point, which is the point of spirituality. You want to carry out reform in yourself, you have to have spirituality. It's not that we just recite the dua. Unfortunately, in some of our communities, when the time of dua kumail comes, on the one hand, they look so much at the time. 25 minutes, or sometimes 23. I really get amazed how it's possible to carry out dua kumail in 23 minutes exactly. So, spirituality is really important. When you come to dua, come with a broken heart. Pray to Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't suffice by just praying our five prayers. This is just the basics. This is just like the basic for me and you today. Do we suffice by the basic food that we need just to stay alive? No. We feed our food so many luxurious different kinds of foods, and maybe we won't have the same food twice a day. Maybe one of us will get angry, either his mother or his wife. Why are you making me eat the same food at dinner and lunch? Make me something else. We give ourselves and we entertain ourselves so much to different kinds of material stuff. Oh God, we need maybe one car. No, we have to buy two or three. Maybe it can last you for many years, but no. Third, fourth, you want to change it. A new phone has come out. The new iPhone, etc. Type. What about the soul? This body, look at it. You start, this body can only bear to live for just a few years. That's it. Our essence is not by our bodies, because these bodies, they're going to go away, they're going to vanish. Our essence is by the soul. So it is imperative that each and every one of us try to start to decorate our soul, to better that soul. Imagine something. You have chassis, talking in car terms now. You have some tires, or you have different models of tires. You have some engines, etc. You can make a car. You have the basics of a car, of a normal car, let's say. Okay? But those basics, that material, it has the potential that you can add more to it. For instance, you can add stronger tires. You can add a stronger engine, turbocharge, whatever. Your soul is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. You can either give your soul a bigger charge, more food, so that you can work better, so that you are able to truly benefit from it. You can give it more food, or no, you can suffice with the basics. And even those basics can, maybe some of it, maybe even rotten. Maybe we don't pray on time. Maybe we have problems with our soul, etc. With regards to spirituality, this is something that is really imperative, really important. Open up Mafatih al-Jinan. Look at how many a'mal we can find in our narrations. My dear brothers and sisters, don't think that this is all the a'mal, all the mustahab du'as and ziyarat that we have. Mafatih al-Jinan is taken from another book and other books, like Misbah al-Kaf'ami. Mafatih al-Jinan is maybe not more than 200 years old. Even before that, we have so many a'mal mustahabba that have been narrated from our imams. But unfortunately, during the Mongol invasion of Baghdad, in the 450s, in the 400s, what happened is that the main library of our Shias that had all many scrolls that were written by the narrators from our Imams, so many of them were thrown, were burnt by the Mongols. So a lot of our literature is lost. But regardless, if you look at Mafatih al-Jinan, you find this rich corpus, this rich majmu'ah, this rich collection of du'as and mustahabbat. Take a few. Start by that which is really, really important for a mu'min. Salat al-Layl, Namaz al-Shab, the night prayer. The night prayer, my dear brothers and sisters, because it was so important, it was wajib for the Holy Prophet. The night prayer is wajib for the Holy Prophet. So there are some things which we call Mukhtasatul Nabi, that is to say, these are special ahkam for our Prophet. Salat al-Layl, Namaz al-Shab, it was wajib, and this is one of the things. Even for Imams, it was not wajib, but for him it was wajib. Now Imams, they would never cut it out. Look at Salat al-Layl, it's even present in Ashura. Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, after the event of Ashura, at night, even though she was not able to stand to perform out those 11 raka'at, she performed them while sitting, Salat al-Layl. If you can take that a step further, each salah has nawafil. Each salat has nawafil prayers, that is to say, special mustahab prayers that are especially for it. Before salat al subh, 2 rak'at. Before salat al dhuhr, 8 rak'at. Al-Asr, 8 rak'at. After Maghrib, 4 rak'at. And after Isha, those 2 rak'at while you're sitting. And the 11 rak'at of Salat al-Layl. Now, some of you may say, oh my God, Mawlana, that's so much, that makes it over 50 rak'at. No, my dear brothers and sisters, no. Islam is a really deep religion. And our Prophet and our Imams say, go and enter it bi-yusr, that is to say, slowly, slowly. No one is telling you, by one go, to start everything. No, that's impossible. Take that which you can. Even the nawafil, they don't have to be recited by a person while standing. Allah has made it so easy for us. You can recite your nawafil while you sit. You can recite them while you walk, even without facing the qibla, even while driving. You can recite them even while sleeping. You can recite them. With that, I think these salawat, these nawafil, they are possible. What are some of the benefits? In a hadith Qudsi, it is mentioned, the meaning, I'll mention it, that Allah Azza wa Jal says that a person keeps on seeking proximity to me with nawafil. And he keeps on doing so until I become, and look at this really, really spiritual, metaphysical meaning, until I become his eyes with which he sees, and his hand with which he strikes. And he becomes then like me. I tell something to become and it becomes. He will be able to tell something to become, and it will become. This is with regards to nawafil. One of the benefits of nawafil. Of course, we should not try to seek nawafil just in order to do and carry out the stuff outside, say, look at this, like a magician. No. This should not be the intention. The intention should be the proximity of Allah Azza wa Jal. Look at our du'as. Du'a Kumail. This is in essence du'a of Khidr alayhi salam. This dua, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, he tells Kumail, if you can recite it every week, recite it every month, recite it, or every year, recite it once, and if not, at least once in your lifetime. If we look at the depth of this dua, dua Kumail, it has so much in it. Truly, each and every one of us, they have recited dua, at least this dua, at least once in their life, with proper khushu'ah, with the proper concentration and mood and spiritual mood. You have felt the effect. You have felt your soul becoming cleaner. You have felt yourself being forgiven. Look at this dua. Dua tawassul, the intercession of the Imams. Ziyarat, look at some of the ziyarat. Look at ziyarat Ashura. According to some of our narrations, ziyarat Ashura, it is a gift that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us, that is taken from His throne, from the Arsh, not from anywhere else. Ziyarat Ashura is so powerful that it is narrated that not in the 1900s, but the century before that, it is narrated that once during the time of one of our ulama in Baghdad, plague had broken out. There was a disease, I think, it was either plague or another disease, but it was there was an epidemic. At that point, the people started, the Shia started to come to this alim, and they asked him, "Mawlana, we need something." So he told them, recite Ziyarat Ashura. Recite Ziyarat Ashura with this niyat, and inshallah no Shia will become sick, will get this illness. And surely people started to do that. People started to do that, and they saw the effect. The Sunnis of Baghdad, they became amazed. Look at these Shias. No Shia is becoming sick by this illness. What are you doing? We're reciting Ziyarat Ashura. The Sunnis started to recite Ziyarat Ashura. And those Sunnis who were reciting Ziyarat Ashura, none of them but congested this. They got this illness. So these are some of the things that we can focus on. Mufatih al-Jihan has also been translated to English. What each and any one of us can do, take some simple du'as, some maybe salawat, ziyarat, and make a program for yourself. Be systematic, like Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam calls us to be. Be systematic and apply that kind of program. And inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will give us tawfiq to reach Allah Azza wa Jal and to perform islah. When we perform islah on our level, on an individual level, that's when we are able to start on the social level. This is something that inshallah then I will talk about tomorrow. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It is narrated that Ibn Abbas once narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Who in turn asked our Prophet, "O Prophet, do you love Aqil?" The Holy Prophet said, "Yes, I love Aqil for two reasons, for two causes." So one of those. One, for Aqil himself, he's a good person, he's a mu'min. Secondly, because Abu Talib alayhi salam also loved Aqil. And his son, the son of Aqil, the Holy Prophet tells Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and his son, he will be killed in the love of your son. And the eyes of the believers will cry over him. And the angels, they will come and mourn over him, and they will pray over him. And then the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started to cry, and he started to weep, and said, "I complain to Allah Azza wa Jal for what is going to happen to my progeny after me." It is narrated in history that Muslim alayhi salam, upon the orders of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that Muslim alayhi salam, this dear ambassador of the Imam, he was sent to Kufa. When Muslim alayhi salam reached Kufa, after the Imam having received over 18,000 letters, it is said that 80,000 people gave allegiance to Muslim. But soon, people started to leave Muslim. There was something about the environment in Kufa. It is said, Ibn Ziyad, in the beginning when he entered Kufa, he entered Kufa very afraid. He entered it wearing a cloak. And nobody knew that this was Ibn Ziyad. Slowly, slowly, he started to give money to people in order to thwart them from aiding Muslim. He started to spread rumors that